reason and community come together. The Rick Smith Show.
Now, people, because together we will stand, every boy, every girl, and a man.
So the long wait is over. We now have the Republican replace, or I guess, as Tom Price said yesterday, the beginning. You know, it's the process. It's the beginning of the process. It's a work in progress. It's all that stuff. You had 7 years. In 7 years, and look, I'm a procrastinator like anyone else. In 7 years, I think I could come around to, do a little something. And not go, we're shocked. We had to come up with something to replace it with. Absolutely mind-blowing. Anyway, now that we know what the plan, the beginning of the plan anyway, now that we have an idea of where they're going officially on paper, I've asked our good friend Mark Steer, director of the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center, to come talk with us and what this would mean from what we know at this point. What's it going to mean to folks here in Pennsylvania? Mark, thanks for taking time for us.
My pleasure, Rick.
So anything, any big surprises in what you saw come out in the AHCA?
Not really. I think I've said on your show before that there are only two ways to do this. One is single payer. The other is the ACA model. And that they weren't going to do single payer, so they were going to follow the ACA model. And that's what they did. The framework of the ACA is there. It's just a lot chintzier. And it's going to be disastrous because it is a lot chintzier for Pennsylvanians. And not just because of changes in the ACA. What they've snuck into this bill is a new way of funding Medicaid that creates what are called per capita caps, which means that we're going to be limited in the funds that the state gets for Medicaid to a certain number per person on Medicaid. It doesn't take into account whether those people are sick or healthy. It doesn't take into account changes in healthcare costs. It doesn't take into account new drugs and new procedures. And as a result, over a number of years, Medicaid funding is going to decrease. And lots of people, not just people who have low income and get health insurance from Medicaid, but people who are middle income and rely on Medicaid for long-term care for their parents and grandparents, they're all going to be out. It's really going to be awful.
Oh, it is awful. It's a massive redistribution of wealth upward. It's basically saying the federal government's walking away from having that safety net. We're going to leave it on the backs of the states, and ultimately it's going to fall onto the backs of families, especially the families who can least afford to take care of an elderly loved one or the poor. You go down the list of the people who benefit from Medicaid. It's really, as you've said, it's horrible. And that's, what the H stands for.
Yes, good point, yes. It is terrible. Just look at what they're doing to Medicaid alone. To make up for the cuts that this per capita Medicaid spending plan will create, it's about $2.6 billion a year to the state. So even the state has to come up with $2.6 billion a year, and maybe more as time goes on, or it's going to have eligibility requirements. It's going to have waiting periods. It's going to have benefit cuts for both Medicaid and for long-term care. It's going to have work requirements, which we know don't actually generate work, but generate a lot of paper, which makes it harder for people to get benefits. Low-income people who rely on Medicaid, seniors who rely on Medicaid, are all going to be in big trouble. And that's not even including what they're doing to the Affordable Care Act. It's horrible there, too. They have this kind of fake way of keeping the Medicaid expansion, except they say by 2020, we're not going to let anyone get health insurance under the Medicaid expansion anymore. Now, what that means is anyone who becomes newly eligible for out of it, you're out of luck. It also means that if your income goes up and goes down and you drop off the eligibility for Medicaid expansion, and then 2 years later you come back, you're out of luck. We figure within 5 years after that rule goes into effect, by 2025, the 700,000 people who are getting health insurance through Medicaid expansion will no longer be there. Almost all of those people will no longer be getting health insurance. So that's another bad element. And then there's what they're doing with the tax credit for subsidies on the exchanges. What they've done is they shifted them from older people with low incomes to younger people and those with higher income. So a lot of folks who, you know, who are, you know, 55, 60 years old, who get a big subsidy, big tax credit for buying insurance on the exchanges, instead they're going to get a $4,000 tax credit, where right now they may be getting $7,000 or $10,000 a year. They're not going to be able to afford insurance.
Right. But here's the thing, Mark. I mean, you got Jason Chaffetz saying, look, you got to make choices, Mark. Buy the new iPhone or get yourself some health insurance.
Well, he either buys very expensive phones or very, very cheap health insurance. Because I don't know anyone who my age, you know, who can get health insurance for the cost of an iPhone. You know, they're just chucking and jiving. They're just trying to make a really horrible plan sound reasonable. But you know what? It's just the kind of thing we expect from these folks.
Yeah.
They're trying to save money so they can give big tax cuts to the rich, and they're trying to shift the resources from low income and moderate income and working people to people who make a lot more money. People making $75,000 a year are going to be getting tax credits, but they're taking them away from people who make $2,000 a year. It's just wrong.
It is wrong. But here's the thing. And you look at it, and I've said this a number of times over the last day and a half. Nancy Pelosi, whom at the time I thought was probably the dumbest thing you could have said as a politician, but she came out after the Affordable Care Act passed and said, the more you learn about this, the more you're going to like it. I got to be honest, in looking back, she's right. The more I find out about what's in the ACA compared to what the Republicans are offering to replace it with, the more I like it. I think I'm not the only one.
Yeah, you know, support for the ACA is going up because, you know, I think once you're faced with what the alternative is, you realize that the provisions are pretty good. They weren't perfect. I mean, there were a lot of things I would like to improve about the ACA. I think the tax credits weren't big enough, particularly for those at the low and moderate income level. But, you know, we could easily fix that by raising those tax credits just a little bit. But we had, under the ACA, tax credits that grow as insurance costs go. We have tax credits that vary depending on whether you live in a part of the country where insurance is high or in part of the country where you live where insurance costs are relatively low. It really was designed to make it possible for people to get insurance. We had provisions that if you had really low income, it limited your out-of-pocket costs. All those things are gone. Now there's this flat tax credit, you know, $2,000 if you're 20, you know, $3,000 if you're 40, $4,000 if you're 60. And for most people, particularly at $40,000 in income below, that is not going to be enough to buy insurance. In fact, given what they're going to do to the insurance market, which we think it's going to really undermine the individual insurance market pretty dramatically, and we're going to see costs go up, even if you have higher income, the $4,000 credit they're going to give you is probably going to be eaten up by insurance premium increases. It's not even going to do those folks any good.
But again, you know, it's like any voucher program, and to me, that's what this really is. We're going to give you a $2,000 or a $4,000 voucher, and you're going to have to go out there and try and find health care that's going to cost you $15,000 or $16,000. And if you don't have the ability to make up the difference, then you just don't have it. And the really great thing about what they've proposed is if you don't have it and then you need it at some point, they're going to charge you 30% more.
Right. And here's the thing. That's a big penalty if you really need insurance and your income's low. If you're a young person and you're not paying that much for insurance, you probably aren't going to even get insurance. It's not a big enough incentive for you to give you a reason to buy insurance because, you know, you can go 4 or 5 years till you get sick, then you pay a 30% penalty just for 1 year. So there's no incentive to get them in the system, and that's why we think insurance premiums are going to go up for everyone else.
So the death spiral that they keep saying is coming, could you argue that they're actually creating it?
Yeah, I think at some level that's really what this is all about. You know, they're not interested in helping people get health care. They're interested in saving money, in putting a fig leaf over what's a really nakedly terrible plan, hiding just how bad it's going to be. So they come up with these tax credits, which do very little for people. They come up with a way to say they're keeping the Medicaid expansion, except if you think 6 years out, And 7 years out, it's almost all gone. And by the way, it's still not going to work. And this is something we ought to make sure everyone who's listening to us understand. I don't think they can pass this thing. Because on the one hand, you got some Republicans with souls in Congress who think, yeah, we really shouldn't take health insurance away from all the people who got it under the ACA. And then you have other people, someone lacking in souls, who want to get rid of the whole thing. They really don't care whether low-income people get health insurance or not. And between the two of them, I'm not sure they can come to an agreement. And anyone who's in Congressman Costello's district or Congressman Fitzpatrick's district or Congressman Murphy's district, you need to be calling your congressman today and saying, this thing stinks, and you can't vote for it.
Yeah, it absolutely stinks. But here's the problem. And this is where, you know, from a political standpoint, don't the Republicans realize that they've now bought this? That let's say that they were right. They've been screaming the sky's falling, the death spiral's coming, Obamacare's failing. Don't they realize that they've now bought this and that politically that they're going to be the ones paying a price for bringing what I think a lot of conservative pundits are calling Obamacare light to us? Mm-hmm. Do they not get that they're going to be the ones who now own this?
Yeah, well, I mean, they kind of put themselves in a bind. When President Obama endorsed this proposal, which, as we know, was dreamed up by the Heritage Foundation, which was supported by Republicans, who offered it as an alternative to President Clinton's health care plan, which was put into place by Mitt Romney in Massachusetts, when he came up with this really centrist plan, and they said no, it's socialism. And they talked to all their followers and said, no, we have to oppose this because it puts the government between you and your doctor, and it's the government takeover of medicine. And now those people are saying, hey, you said this was socialism. You said this was getting in the way between me and my doctor. You said this was the worst thing in the world. And now you're still endorsing it? So that all those people who believed them when they said this was a horrible lefty plan now saying, why are they keeping the basic elements of it? And then the other folks who don't want to do anything, who never liked this centrist plan because they don't believe the government should be helping anyone get health insurance, they're saying, well, I can't support this. So they put themselves in a terrible bind by doing the one thing that, you know, people always say you shouldn't do. You shouldn't lie because your lies catch up with you.
Yeah.
They've been lying about health care for 8 years now, and the lies are catching up.
And hopefully it bites them in the behind. But, you know, and those calls of socialism, I mean, so then you could look at it, if the ACA was socialism, then the AHCA is socialism with profit.
Socialism light.
Okay. I just want to make sure I get it right because, you know, at the end of the day, there's so much rhetoric being thrown around. It's hard to keep it straight. But, you know, I think the average citizen like me wants to know that if I'm sick, if my kids are sick, we get to go see a doctor. It should not be this complicated.
It should not be. And you know what? If we fixed the ACA and did it right, it really wouldn't be that complicated. It takes a little while to understand the system. But once you get used to it, It's a lot easier to get insurance for most people than it used to be. You have the plans out in front of you. You know what they cover. You just have to pick what combination of insurance premium and out-of-pocket costs you want to pay.
But there's no choice, Mark. There's no choice.
There's plenty of choice. That's the thing.
And for me, there's too much choice. I just want to go to the doctor, Mark. When I'm sick, I want to get well. I don't want to be picking and choosing health care like I'm at McDonald's picking off the dollar menu. I just want to make sure that if my kids fall and break their foot, we're going to the doctor. That's it.
Yeah, and that's basically what people want. It
simple.
Really shouldn't be that hard. It should be a lot simpler. And we were on the road to making it simpler for a lot of people, and now they're going to make it a lot more complicated. And you know, people are going to be really upset. Let me say one more thing. I keep seeing people say, hey, everyone should buy health insurance on their own. I don't understand why we have these programs at all. Can I tell you, do you know what the biggest program we have that subsidizes health insurance in this country is?
Well,
far bigger than the ACA.
Outside of Medicare?
It's outside of Medicare, yeah.
Okay, no, what is it?
The biggest program we have is the tax deduction on employer
right.
government-sponsored health insurance. That is a huge cost to the federal government. It's about $250, $275 billion a year cost the federal government. It allows our employers to give us compensation in the form of health insurance on which we don't pay a tax. And that's a far bigger expense. It's 2.5 times the cost of the Affordable Care Act. And it goes to people who work for big companies or small companies that offer it, and they tend to be people who are richer. We have federally subsidized health insurance for the rich and for the upper middle class. All the ACA did was provide the same level kind of benefits for people who don't have employer-sponsored health insurance. It was as simple as that. It's not socialism. It's what we have is socialism for the rich and socialism for the upper middle class. We need it for working people and for low-income people as well.
I'm right there with you.
So anyone says, I buy health insurance myself. No, you don't. If you pay $100 a month when your employer is paying $900 a month and you're getting that all tax-free, you're not buying it yourself. You're getting a tax break. And what you're saying is, I don't want low-income people to have the same tax break that I get.
Yeah, but you're really not pushing back on that bootstrap meme, man, because I'm doing it myself. I'm not getting anything from that government.
Yeah, you know, and you look anytime someone says I'm doing it myself. Look at all the people, including their rich parents, who helped them get to where they are.
Yeah.
There was this Jewish philosopher who once said, "There's no such thing as a self-made man," and anyone who thinks he's a self-made man is no credit to his maker.
There you go. Mark, I appreciate the time. Call the congressman. Call your senators. Hammer them with phone calls, right?
Yeah, Charlie Dent, too. I almost forgot him.
Yeah, let's not forget him.
In Allentown.
Good
call
deal.
Call him as well. Those folks may vote the right way.
All right. Mark, I appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks very much. Take care.
Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Uncovering the con in conservatism. Rick Smith.